All right. So how, so once we take those positions, how can we get to a point of forgiveness? Number seven, just, and I'm just going through this really kind of quickly. All right. You know that our Heavenly Father commands that we forgive others as He forgives us. List us at least 10 sins from your life that God has forgiven through Christ. Oh, yep. Thanks, Jonathan. We're on number seven for those in the online audience. So how do we get to a point where we can forgive someone that's harmed us really, you know, with something that's significant, that's hurt the relationship? Here's one. Write down 10 sins that you've been forgiven from God. Why would that help to forgive the other person?
The problem there, I think, is that you can't forgive yourself. Even though you think God is forgiven, you have trouble letting go because you're
so. Yeah. Well, in this case, we're thinking of when someone has harmed you. And so you don't have to forgive, you know, we're thinking of how can you forgive the other person? Yeah, but that's a good point.
I guess forgiveness of something, especially as radical as what is described here, means that you have to accept the other person, help them back in. And even so, you have to say, well, I know you said those things, help them in. But
Maggie.
Can you forgive somebody and that other person doesn't know about it?
Boy, really good question there.
I have a brother and a sister that haven't spoken for since 1987.
Oh boy.
And my sister wrote a letter to my brother, even had the priest bless it. And in the letter, you know, she said, I forgive you, please forgive me, blah, blah, blah. He never even read the letter. So I'm thinking, you know, she has forgiven him, but he doesn't know that.
Oh.
So in her heart, she's forgiven.
Yeah. Boy, I still think it might be good to make a phone call and still just audibly say, hey, I was really hurt by this and I forgive you. And, you know, as I need forgiveness, I forgive you for the harm you've caused. It sounds like protocol or can sound like almost cliche. There's such a beauty in doing it, though, and really believing that you've been forgiven by God and so you can pass it on to someone else. There's just such a health and beautiful thing with that, that it'll bring peace in your own heart. And that bitterness kind of goes away. Yeah, that's a tough one, though.
Do you think that if you... tell someone, I'm forgiving you for whatever it was, harmful thing that you did, that they're going to feel guilty? I think it's putting guilt on them.
Yeah, so good question. So I think what's behind your thought there is that there's a power play, that if I'm forgiving someone, that means I'm elevated and higher than you. Is that what, that's what I'm hearing when you ask that question? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like if I were to say to Ruth, I really forgive you for what you did to me last week, you know? And she's like, I don't know. It looks like I'm the powerful one and she's kind of put down and whatever. That's not behind this practice in Christianity. Mm-hmm. Because we're all even. There's no one person better than the other. And so that's why I think it's really important to take this step in number seven to list your own ways in which you've, because then you can't elevate yourself. You can't say, whoa, I was perfect and you're the sinner. By doing this, you realize, wow, I've made some mistakes as well, and I've been forgiven from God. And so There's so many passages, and I'd love to just open up the Bible. I'm kind of going through this, but where the scriptures speak that your forgiveness has been total, and God will not, he doesn't keep track of those sins, and they're not remembered. They're really powerful. Jeremiah 31, 34 basically says, I will remember your sins no more. And so that's, once we receive that, then we can share that with somebody else. So